Hello, and welcome to the second episode of With Developer Commentary. This week, I've chose to do Double Switch, which is one of my favorite games, full motion video game, very similar to that of Night Trap, actually created by the same studio. So what I wanted to start off with is a comparison of the Sega CD and the Sega Saturn versions. I own both of which, so I thought it'd be a good starting point for us to compare and contrast how it appeared visually and audio, in terms of audio, on the two different platforms. So I did my best to align the capture footage of both here. So there's going to be a pretty clear difference that largely has to do with how different the tech specs were between the two devices. Unfortunately, this did not appear on the Sega 32X, though, so the Saturn is probably about as clear as we're going to get. It also appeared on DOS a bit later. So in terms of processing power, what we have here, the Sega CD is pretty limited, right? It came out in 1989, or at least the Genesis did. And the CPU on this device is 12.5 megahertz. It's a Motorola 68K processor. So you're writing all assembly code to get this done. Although I have seen people do this with C programs as well. So you can see the video, pretty clear difference on the left-hand side. It doesn't quite align correctly. I mean, the audio is spot on, but they change a bit of the text. It's a bit more stretched on one platform than the other. Also, like they kind of change the credits a bit too. Now, Mary Lambert, she had a pretty big background directing music videos before this. She had done work with Madonna and several other high-profile artists. So actually, we should make a point to reach out to her and see if she'd like to talk about this game at some point. But you can see right here, I also did a comparison of the, we'll say, not intro, but the tutorial, where the main character, played by Corey Haim, was kind of giving us an introduction of what's happening and how this all works out. So you can see the UI as a whole is completely different. It's pretty transparent on the Saturn. In fact, you have the ability to control exactly how transparent it is. And the video itself is much, much larger. It's full screen. Where on the Sega CD, it's, you know, like postage stamp, as one would expect. And that's to do with a number of things, both in terms of the display resolution. I mean, the Sega CD was limited to 320 by 224, and had only 64 colors could be available on screen at once out of a total palette of 512, which was the same as that of the Genesis. Saturn, obviously completely different. Way more powerful. But moreover, the Sega CD only had 6 megabits, not bytes, bits of RAM, which can explain why you have so little on screen at once. And then even in terms of like storage and how we're reading it off the disk, the Sega CD was using 500 megabit CD-ROMs, which is about 62 minutes of audio data and then about 45 minutes of video. So this disk... on Sega CD, it's 2 discs. On Saturn, it's 2 discs as well. So the data transfer rate is only 150 kilobits a second. It's a single-speed CD-ROM on the Sega CD. So it's actually pretty amazing to see how quickly they were able to switch between the video in real time because you can't even load it into RAM. I think they may have done this similar to how they had planned out working Night Trap several years ago, but I'm not quite sure. I'll explain that in another video. It's very difficult to explain. Without having some way to draw things. So here you see I'm trying to capture enemies as they're going across the scene. This is, again, very similar to Night Trap. I had an absolute blast with this, playing it over the years. Originally bought it in the late 90s for the Sega CD, and I found it for about $10 on the Sega Saturn years later. So I kind of go back and forth and play between the two. So like I was saying before, just the fact they're able to get... such good quality, especially when you consider as the Sega CD, is pretty amazing. Although I did want to start with the Sega Saturn, so in a few moments we'll switch back to the Sega CD. I kind of do a brief, short playthrough on Saturn, and then play through the rest on Sega CD. It is a very difficult game, I'll tell you that much. The first part, I guess it's broken up into three distinct sections, is rather easy. But later on, things really, really start to ramp up, and you've got to make a point of trying to catch certain characters while letting other ones go. So I'm not going to go through tons of gameplay here. I want this to be more about the technical side of things. So Corey Haim over here, again, he's kind of narrating things for you. Obviously a big actor in the 80s. He was in movies like License to Drive. He unfortunately passed away 6 years ago in 2010. and he like finally recovered from, you know, drug abuse and all these other things for years. And then unfortunately passed away. Actually, a lot of people who worked on this game have since passed. And it's only about, I guess it was recorded 23 years ago in 93. But Erwin Keyes, who plays Brutus, you know, we'll see him in a little bit. He's like the you know, quiet Italian guy with a pickaxe kind of wandering around. He passed away last year, as well as one of the gentlemen who I don't think we'll actually see in this playthrough. He was kind of like the band manager or the talent scout, who we'll see a little bit later. He was in several movies. He had played like smaller roles, I guess, as a character actor. Also, there's someone, not him, one of the goons, I guess we'll call him. So here's Brutus, Erwin Keyes. He passed away last year. One of the goons, I guess we'll call them, he has very curly hair, wears a top hat. He comes into Brutus's apartment later on. He's actually a very well-known character actor. He was in RoboCop in the first one when they're like, I guess, essentially blowing up one of the like toy stores or something. They're kind of raiding an electronics store, and he's kind of shooting RoboCop from the top of his truck. And he's in, I think, Predator 2 as well. But I've seen him in several things, and I was kind of harking back to playing this game. Here I'm doing a terrible job with the controls. I'm trying to figure out how to actually play through these controls again. It's a slightly different on the Sega CD and the Sega Saturn. The woman we saw in the last scene kind of waving a fan at herself, that's Debbie Harry. So that's Blondie. They had quite the cast for this game. Blondie, very well-known musician in the 80s and maybe even the 70s. Went on to go do this. And R. Lee Emery, who's another well-known character actor, he plays Lyle the Handyman, who we can consistently find in the basement. He's in a ton of movies, and probably the most well-known one is when he plays the drill sergeant at boot camp in... it's slipping my mind right now. Oh, well. So, I mean, Saturn version, again, looks pretty smooth. In terms of the Saturn specs, it has two processors. They're both Hitachi processors, 32-bit RISC CPUs running at 28 megahertz. So, again, we're comparing the Sega Saturn, 28 megahertz, to the Sega CD, which was 12.5 megahertz, and a 16-bit processor. But additionally, the CD drive was much better on the Saturn 2. So, we're looking at about 330 kilobits a second of data transfer and about 150 kilobits a second of audio. So right away, you're going to have better looking picture and better looking sound. It also had a larger amount of RAM available to it. So the CD-ROM cache, 512 kilobits, and the video RAM, 1.5 megabytes. So, oh, that's the character actor I was talking about on the left. He's the guy in RoboCop and some other things. And Debbie Harry, Blondie, on the right. She kind of plays the landlord, essentially, of this building that Corey Haim owns. So even the video here, I mean, you can snap between scenes much quicker, largely because I think they're able to actually cache some of the video inside of the Sega Saturn's RAM. Additionally, Sega Saturn did have two VDPs, or video display processors. So that's how I think they're able to draw so much on screen at once. It's my thought that one of the processors dedicated to actually playing back the video, and the other one's dedicated to playing back the UI. It could also display exponentially more colors than what the Sega CD had. So in terms of color depth, I mean, we're looking at 32,000 colors displayed in the foreground, but it had a 24-bit color palette. So it's about 16.7 million colors available altogether, which obviously way, way bigger than they had on the Sega set. So now we're going to switch back to the Sega CD version. Just wanted to take a moment to kind of, you know, briefly segue between these two. Without making it too jarring on you. Also, in terms of like just the display resolution alone, Sega Saturn could do things like 352 by 224. It could also do 640 by 224. And finally, 708 by 480. So that's 480i. I'm grabbing all of this through RGB SCART and a FrameMeister. So it's about as clear as it's going to look on either platform. I mean, you see right here on Sega CD, it still loads very, very quickly. The UI is far more simple than we had on the Saturn. It's like, you know, kind of drab gray colors. But even the video just loads snappy. And I'm still kind of amazed by that because I ported Night Trap to HTML5, so to the browser last summer. And one of the biggest issues I had was getting the video player inside the browser to load and then play this video very, very quickly. So, I mean, I struggled with that in 2016, so I'm still trying to figure out how they're doing this here. Although, like I said, it may be the way that they're kind of banding the video on top of one another, which I'll like draw up in a demo someday in the near future. I sat down with someone who worked on Night Trap, and he explained to me in very great detail what the original prototypes for these FMV games were going to be like and how they worked, at least on a VHS system. And it kind of blew my mind when I saw how people were thinking. This also looks notably clearer and more up-to-date than some of the other FMV games that Digital Pictures had produced at the time. And that's largely because some of the original titles like Sewer Shark and Night Trap were actually created for the Hasbro Nemo. It was a VHS playback system, where this is one of the first Digital Picture games that were actually created in the early 90s, so 93, to release specifically on the Sega CD. So they knew the hardware that they were building for when they were actually recording this. I think some of these characters, these actors have gone on to do some other things, notably like soap operas and dramas and things of that nature. It's got a pretty cool story behind the game in and of itself. I mean, essentially you're kind of managing these cameras and trying to capture people. See, I let too many people go at this point. And I'm in the Edward Arms, which is supposed to be like a nice or a high-end apartment complex in a really bad neighborhood. So that's why there's these cameras all over the place. But what is odd is some of the people seem to be aware of their cameras, while others, such as these graduate students, have no idea. Also, it always came up as bizarre to me that no one seems to really mind that there are cameras all over the place. Some of them will kind of break the fourth wall, and the characters will say something to you. Others go on as though nothing's happening. That's kind of weird. I'm just kind of skipping around here. What is interesting about a lot of these is these types of games, I guess, is that all these objects or these videos are happening concurrently. So you can jump between video and video and video and get different parts of this story each time, which kind of encourages repeat playthroughs. So see, I'm missing more guys at this point. So I played through this probably 200 times at this point. I know this game in and out. And these kinds of things have always enamored me because it really gave me a sense of like this real living, breathing world, in that I can jump between these different scenes and see what's going on. So I could have caught that guy there. He's one of the tenants. Probably not in my best interest. But later on, he'll use that mask and kind of play around with one of the grad students, try to frighten her inside her apartment. So here, like, Alex will, you know, make note of the camera, try to say something to me. I guess she knows or hopes that I'm watching somehow. But again, I thought it was kind of creepy. So apparently I missed something else now. You only get so many tries or opportunities to miss these guys. This is one of the FMV games from Digital Pictures that did not appear on the Sega 32X. So something I had discovered, I mean, I always knew that the 32X lends essentially more drawing or processing power, along with a larger color palette to Sega CD titles. But from the Assembler Games forums, the 32X games use the Sega CD CPU like all other CD-based games. So the 32X was really largely there for colors. So the Sega 32X and CD are independent units, and both units, or neither, can be utilized by any game on the system. So the Sega CD had different support modes or operation modes. So for example, there was one where you could boot from the cartridge rather than the CD, and the Sega CD hardware was still available. So there was a game that came out that released using this. It was called Flux. And again, I got this from the Assembler forums. And it was a Genesis cartridge that used the Sega CD hardware to get more processing power. It would also be possible to create a 32X cart that used the Sega CD hardware as well as a 32X, but none of these games were commercially released. I do have a link in this post to the Sprites Mind forums where they explain how a lot of this works. Although, be warned, if you don't understand 68K assembly programming, it will be difficult to comprehend a lot of what's going on here. So, yep, someone pulled the power box, and that was it for me. So, you've got to kind of defend that thing and be cognizant of what's happening down there at all times. So, that's it for this episode. I'm not actually able to save any of these games because the battery on my Sega CD is busted. I've got to replace it, but I've got to solder some things and get it working. So on the next episode, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do. I might step away from the FMV games for a little bit and maybe go back to just Genesis side-scrolling platformers or something. I also have something else in the works. But I will keep in the loop. Thank you for watching. If you have any questions, please feel free to leave them in the comments, and I look forward to answering them. Thank you.